the question.
Here, maybe.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
A small boy walked down a city street, and hope was in his eyes as he searched the faces of the people he'd meet. One he could recognize.
Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, getting ourselves equipped. Bring it in. Episode number 56. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you do? As always, it is good to be back. This is Giants Amongst Us, a place where we share in the unique human experience. This is where you're going to hear real stories that are told by real people.
No matter where you're at right now or how deep a hole there is, there's always a rope to grab. It's just a matter of how you're going to use it.
And the feeling I got after I would write an incident that happened growing up, it was like the world was lifted off my shoulders and I became addicted to that feeling.
The Jesuits will tell you, give me the boy from 1 to 7 and I'll show you the man. Well, the 1 to 7 for me was chaos, you know, that ended with the death of my very dear brother.
Raw, uncut testaments pointing and highlighting the resilience of the human spirit. There are potentials, there are possibilities that we all can actualize, but it's up to us to do the work. It's up to us to turn inwards rather than look outside for salvation, seeking salvation from somewhere else, seeking validation from somewhere else, but knowing that within us we have the ability, we have the innate inner sacred technology that we have forsaken, that sometimes we have traded in for external stimuli, for distractions. And now I feel that I'm going off a tangent, but let me bring you back to today's episode and welcome you all. If this is your first time tuning in to the broadcast, what we do here is we usually talk story. There's somebody sitting across the other line, and through the wonderful advancements in technology, we're able to break bread and talk story. And they share about the trials, the tribulations, the dark nights of the soul that walk through the wilderness, and them finding themselves in the midst of that, in that darkness, in that turmoil, throughout those trials and tribulations, finding the wherewithal to accumulate the resources so that they could create changes in their life, so that they could maybe shake and break old habits, self-doubt, negative self-talk, old stories that we've told ourselves, that we've accepted as truth from other people telling us, or maybe these old constructs, these old beliefs that are ill-informed, that aren't based on reality and truths, but have confined us and conformed us to a psychological cage, if you will. So if you're listening for the first time and this is something that resonates with you, if this is something that rings true with you and you're on board with it, then you can buy the ticket free of charge and take the ride with us. And if you've been here before, if you've listened to the show once or twice, I appreciate you all for spending some of your day with us. Today is going to be one of those in between the stories. Since we're moving into the new year, I really would like to start peppering in these talks. Anything that is weighing on my heart, anything that I'm feeling, I'm wrestling with, I'm tugging with, I'm chewing on as far as pages and thought and concepts and ideas, most of them old, because sometimes it's best to just study and learn from the masters of the past rather than try to invent or reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's going to be us. going to share some thoughts, and I'd love to hear your feedback, constructive criticism, anything that's on your mind after you hear this. And if you just like to reach out to us, share your own thoughts. This is a two-way conversation. This is a two-way street. You can find us at giantsamongstus.org. That is hometown and home base for Giants Amongst Us. You can leave a voice note if you so choose. Let me know where you're listening from, how you're listening to the show. It's always great to hear some feedback or any kind of constructive criticism you'd like to give to help us better the show. I'm with it. If it's coming from a true place, I'm all ears. There's also a YouTube channel. We're on Reddit, on Twitter. It's a hit and miss with that. I'm not too sold on that platform, but it is another outlet, another medium, and those are pretty much the platforms that you can find us on. And of course, you can email us. So the show notes will be linked with all of the beautiful ways that you can contact us. And like I said, yeah, this is something that I like to start doing more of. I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it countless times. But coming along and moving into the new year, I started to just rattle my brain with different things that I'd like to do with the show, to implement, just things that I've been exploring and working out in my own life, because this is a show about self-development. This is hopefully a show that can help somebody help themselves, because there isn't a one size fits all, and there's not a pill we can take or a shot we can shoot to fix everything that we'd like to be fixed in our lives. It's going to take some work, it's going to take some doing, and it's not going to be an overnight success, though we can take small steps day in and day out, and those small steps in time and with time start to accumulate into something grand, something beautiful. And I wanted to share this book that I've read once. I'm rereading it because I'm trying to get better with not just going from one piece of information to the next piece and not really retaining it, absorbing it, understanding it, and dissecting it, you know, trying to get into the head of the writer and to truly, truly, truly take in the information that I'm receiving and to go through it and to see where it fits in my life, how I feel about it, and if it challenges some of my own beliefs. This is the book that I've read once. I'm going through it again. It's not a long read. I have it downloaded on my Kobo, my ebook reader, The Art of Being by Eric Fromm. And he was a German-American psychoanalyst, humanistic philosopher, born in the early 1900s. This book, I believe, was published in 94, if memory serves me correct. And he's got a lot of good concepts, a lot of great ideas, a lot of philosophical points that are to this day very, very relevant. And so if there is anybody interested in learning more about him, one of the books I can only recommend, because, you know, I've gone through it myself, is The Art of Being, On the Art of Being. And so that's what brings me to this talk today, about some of what I've read and some of what has hit home for me. And, you know, I thought it was worth sharing. And in this book, he mentions and talks about two modes of existence. One of them is the having mode, and then the other is the being mode. And he mentions in his book that in order to reach this full humanization, where man is truly experiencing, enjoying, and being the full human potential that he was born to be, that man has to, or woman, let's not be sexist here, but man meaning all of man, mankind, that he has to break through from the possession-centered to the activity-centered orientation, from selfishness and egotism to solidarity and altruism. And he really gets into depth with this. I don't want to make this a long episode. I just want to cover a little bit of those two modes of existence, maybe give a few examples, and then we can pick this back up at a later date. For right now, I wanted to sit down and talk a little bit about this and share it with you all. And maybe it finds a place with you. Maybe you agree with it. Maybe you see where there's truth. And then in other ways, you find it to be flawed. But while I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of that quick fix, how we want something for nothing. You see these posts, these ads, and I was even just doing some online search engine jogging and came across old ads. And these old ads with the promises of being able to shape and sculpt your figure with these bands, these electric bands. So there's nothing new under the sun from then until now. You have these promises of how to be an overnight success. These gurus or these influencers preaching from the tip top of their platforms, telling you that in 10 easy steps you can find out how to master your life or how you can earn thousands while you sleep. Or what about these injections? There's a lot of different injections, but I'm talking about the ones where you pump some synthetic oil into your biceps or your forearms, and they can grow into the size of Popeye. That's the spinach, synthetic oil, or petroleum jelly, whatever they're pumping into the arms so they could grow into the size of Popeye. This is the price of beauty, or so people think. The aesthetics, build, scope, lose pounds, kilos, cheekbones, eyelashes, lips, whatever it is, the bottom, the top, you name it, you can have it now for the very low, low price of 25 installments of $3,000. Make it easy and take it easy, even if it means losing both of your arms in the process. But for 2 years, you're going to be looking mighty swole until those arms have to come off. So in his book, The Art of Being, Eric Fromm outlines the two modes of existence, having and being. The first one, having, this is primarily possession-centered. Objects, status, desires, destructive or not, it's a life focused on consumption. We acquire things, we use them up, we discard them, and then we repeat the process. Then we have the second mode, which is being. And that's the complete opposite. This is more activity-centered. It's based on experiencing, feeling, as with love, reason, or productive activity. This is something that cannot be bought. It can't be collected. It can't be hoarded. This is what has to be felt. It has to be experienced. And so when speaking of these two modes of existence and in this learning the art of being, Eric Fromm talks about a few barriers, but one of the barriers that I wanted to just touch on today was the no effort and no pain doctrine. And that goes back to in the beginning, like I said, we just want that quick fix. We want that easy fix. Take it easy, take it slow. There's no reason to overdo it. And he was talking about this doctrine of it being a problem and a barrier in the 90s. And just think about how it's still relevant today, maybe more so than it was in the past. And Eric Fromm lists off a few of the ways that this doctrine is being preached and taught. And one of them being through the methods of education, the courses that are made to be as easy and pleasant as possible. In studying, the same thing. It should be felt as pleasant. It shouldn't feel forced. And he sheds a little bit of light and talks about this idea of effortless learning, how it's rooted in the advancements of technology. As I sometimes say, the wonderful, magical, technological advances where I'm able to connect with people from all around the world so they can talk about their experiences and share with others the different lessons in life that they learned. With all of its wonders and blessings that these great machines have bestowed upon man, the reduction of physical energy when producing goods and a liberation from extra thinking, memorizing and calculating in one's life, you know it, I know it. We don't even know how to do the long addition anymore or don't have time to do the multiplication or dividing simple numbers. It saves a lot of time. How many of you remembering have to do your math equations and you show the long work in the back of how you came to that answer? The formula that you had to follow, you had a scratch piece of paper that you stapled to your worksheet problems. And you wrote the answer in the worksheet, but you had that scrap piece of paper that referenced how you came to that answer. Now we could just pull out the cell phone and punch in a few numbers, hit that symbol. Voila! The answer is 3,263. So it's true. It's a no-brainer. The industrial advancements have truly been one of the greatest gifts of modernity. But, and here is the big but. In his book, Eric Fromm raises the question, with all of the advancements and how we were able to cut time and energy and the need, the necessity to memorize and calculate so much that all of this, from this liberation of extra energy and a reduction of physical energy needed to produce goods and everything else that comes with the advancements of this industrial revolution, what has man or woman done with its newfound freedom? What have we done with this newfound freedom? Has this surplus of human energy gone towards good or ill? Are we better off or lazier because of it? The good life is the effortless life, or so they say. There isn't really a need to make any real efforts in life anymore. That's an old shoe. The unbeaten, undisputed mantra of today is work smarter and not harder. I've heard it. I've said it too. I mean, it does have its place. I'm not knocking it. There are times and places, there are moments and aspects in our life where it makes sense to work smarter and not harder. But the idea that one makes strong efforts in his or her life without being forced to do so is a rarity. We'll drive around the parking lot for 15 minutes, hoping to find the closest spot to the entrance. And all that time it took for the parking spot to finally be available to us, we could have saved some of that time and just parked the car around the corner and walked into the store. And this also translates into us trying to learn a topic, do our own research, understand some information that we think is worthy of our attention or something that we need to know about, something that we need to be hip to. Whatever we think is important in our lives, instead of doing our own research, we'll find the most juiciest and attractive article, piece, or news outlet and get all the goods from them. That saves us the time. We don't have to do our own research. Who has the time in a day between all that we have to do to sort through all the weeds and find the information that we need? You can just ChatGPT it. But then we don't even think critically about the information that is being given to us. Where is it coming from? What are the sources that this information comes from? What are their biases? What's the narrative they're trying to promote? How are they trying to persuade me or nudge me? Where do I stand on it? How do I feel about it? We just take it as gospel. It came from here. I was told by this, and so it has to be true. Thus, I don't even have to think for myself anymore or think critically about anything. Who cares what I think or how I feel about it? This came from God, or it came from AI, the new gods. How dare you question the algorithm or try to go against it? And then we have the sister to the no pain doctrine, which is no effort. With all the remarkable advancements again accredited to leading our transition from the first to the second industrial revolution, pain has become a kind of phobic quality, writes Fromm. Something we try to avoid at all costs. And the pain that he's speaking of is in the broader sense, not only the physical or mental, like the pain in learning a new instrument, or out of respect for what my wife does and all the courses that she has put together, these hula hoop courses, something that has helped her tremendously with her own healing physically, even emotionally, all that it's done for her. She's been through a lot physically, from surgeries, spinal fusions, and that she is able to move the way she can move still, and not just for herself, but how she has brought this joy in movement, in dance, with music, with the motor skills being challenged, hand-eye coordination, balance, all of this with the hula hoop. So I say, with respect to that, even learning new hula hoop tricks or how to hula hoop. Some people, they see it and it looks so easy. I remember when I was young, all the girls did it. The little girls did it. It was like instinctive. It was a second nature to them. They just picked up that circle. They moved inside of it and they were able to keep it up for minutes and hours at a time if they wanted to. But as we get a little bit older, we start getting in our head and we think ourselves out of a lot of situations, a lot of actions and ideas. And so sometimes we could be our own worst enemy and our biggest critique, keeping us from trying new things, from experiencing new things. So you can see someone doing a hula hoop, swinging a hula hoop, and it might look so easy and it looks so elegant. And my goodness, I want to do that. You not taking into consideration how long this person has been practicing and perfecting those movements and how many hours and time they've put into it, how they've banged themselves up. I've seen it, bruises on the knees and the ankles, the arms, because it could be a full contact sport. So you try it, you pick it up and you want to try it, and then after a couple of days, you realize it's not so easy. It takes a little bit of effort. And then that hula hoop just hangs and becomes another decoration in the house. We give something, anything, a new instrument, a new hobby, a new craft, something that we see other people do and we want to pick it up and try it and realize, okay, it's not as easy as I thought I was. It's going to take a little bit of work. I'm guilty of it. Wood whittling. I watch these YouTube tutorials and I see these videos in under 8 minutes, and they carve out this cool looking piece, this gnome or this old ancient mystical wizard with a little piece of wood. And I'm like, man, that looks like fun. I want to start doing that. And then I buy the knives, I buy the sharpening stone for the knives, and I give it a few good cracks. And then I realize that it's not as easy as it looked on the tutorial. And then that enthusiasm turns into some headaches and some disappointments. And then you just set it off to the side and forget all about it. Those tools turn into dust collectors. And at best, some type of cool decoration for the house. So I've pretty much just piggybacked off of a few things that I've written down about this topic, and then recalling some of what I've read. Like I said, I'm going through it again, and there's a lot of good points, a lot of good arguments, a lot of good ideas from Eric Fromm that was written back then and that are still relevant today. And I want to pick this back up and talk more about it, but I just wanted to brush over the two modes of existence, and we can go further with it. What it means in the having mode, what it means to be in the being mode. Once you start becoming aware of these things, once you start noticing these things, and that takes some solitude, that takes some silence, that takes something that costs you nothing, just to disconnect And B, get back in touch with your senses, with yourself, that wonderful somatic, sacred inner knowledge that we all have, this inner technology that we all have, and it's available as long as we don't outsource it, as long as we don't deprive ourselves of it, as long as we don't turn it off and turn on something else to take its place. This is about the human experience, and this is what I would like to continue to share with other people who feel the same way. And even if you don't feel the same way, if you're not ready for something like this to make change, because sometimes you're just not ready, or you don't think that it's necessary, you don't feel that you need to, that's perfectly fine. I'm not here to change the world. And I've said this before, even some of my guests have said this, and you'll hear this being said by a lot of other people. The only way to change the world is to change your world. And that in itself creates a rippling effect to start creating changes in the environment around our lives. So these two modes of existence I pretty much just touched on. And then one of the hindrances, this hindrance and a stumbling block in order to learn, understand, and to live and practice this art of being, experiencing, feeling through love, through reason, through knowledge, through understanding, through knowing yourself. What does it even mean to know thyself? And when you hear something that's talked about in many ways by many different people, it's a very high probability that there is some truth to that. And you hear this in Eastern philosophy. You hear this preached in different ways through Western religions. You hear this talked about from philosophers and different thinkers, great thinkers of the past and even present. And that is the importance of knowing self. So many of us are lost. We're confused and we're swimming in a sea of illusions, not knowing up from down. We're being told up is down and down is up, and we take that as gospel. The sky could be blue outside, but our favorite news channel is telling us that it's red, and so we say to ourselves, it has to be red, even though I'm seeing it to be blue. It could be scary. It can cause a lot of angst to start seeing the illusions for what they are, and rather than justify them, rationalize them, we start to really allow ourselves to feel them out, to sense them, and to get to know them for what they are. Are they constructs of society, a generation of biased dogmas and doctrines? Have we been conditioned to believe this because of tradition, and that's just the way that it is? Because when we get quiet with that and we sit with that in that sacred silence, that is when we're able to see slips of truth in reality beyond the smoke screen of illusions and falsehoods. And that is why we're being bombarded on every corner with every swipe of our phone screen with different advertisements, different pitches, different promises to take us away from that concentration and that focus that brings us back to self. But we're being distracted. Our attention is like gold, and they're mining that gold around the clock, 24 hours a day. They take no breaks. So in this digital age, this age of technology, this great time that we are in, like now, I'm able to sit here talking to a microphone and then broadcast this around the world to whoever is tuned into the same frequency or plugged into the same platform. They are able to hear this right now. So in this great age, this new age, my sign off is don't lose what it means to be human. Don't lose your humanness in the process. It was great to have this heart to heart with those of you with ears to hear, whether you find truth in it or not, and you'd like to share your thoughts. You can find us on any one of the links in the show notes. We're going to catch up and do this again real soon. I do have a story in the pipeline and a guest that I'm looking forward to introduce to you all. And before I wrap this up and call it a day, I would like to remind anybody listening that if you would like to be a part of the show and share your story, or even a story of someone in your life that has impacted you in a positive way, you could always reach out to us via email. We'd be happy to connect. You be safe out there. Be sane. Be the change that you wish to see. Until next time, and very soon, peace. Do-wop, do-wop, do-wop,
do-do-do-wop, do-wop. I'm looking for a sign to know I'm on the right road. Ain't seen no signs since.